There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We are wrapping up our preseason previews as we finally take a look at the Indiana Hoosiers. We always wrap up with IU. That is the team we mainly cover. But we gave everybody their fair shake in the FBS. I believe, TJ, how are you doing today?
Very excited. This is certainly one of the podcasts that I know both of us look forward to all year round, because we get to actually dive into what we like the best, which is IU football. And that signifies that the season is right around the corner, and there's very little better than that.
Yep, just 12 days away from IU football, 5 days away from Big Ten football in week zero, which starts this Saturday. So this past weekend was the last weekend without college football until January. So it's we're here, finally. Before we start, a word from our friends over at Spotify Green Room. It's a live, audio-only sports talk platform for sports fans. Start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games, talk with other sports fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time, join in on conversations with me, and have a chance to be featured on our Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'll be hosting rooms every week on Saturday mornings prior to the game. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app, free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Hoosier Huddle League. You can follow us at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll be going live on Spotify Green Room on September 4th, time to be announced. TJ, Indiana is preseason number 17 in both the AP and the coaches poll. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. You get Michael Penix back. He looks healthy. He should be the starter game one. It looks like they still haven't announced. I don't blame them for not announcing. There's a whole argument on whether or not you want to announce who's, but might as well let Iowa prepare for Jack Cuttle as well. Let's talk about that quarterback room. Michael Penix is coming off an ACL injury. It occurred in late November against Maryland. He had an outstanding season up until then. He was off in that Maryland game. I think he completed like two or three passes in the first half, and he got hurt running out of bounds on a run down by the goal line. It was a non-contact injury, just stepped funny out of bounds. Maybe somebody grazed his knee or something like that, but he's back. He missed all the spring practice and things like that. But from what we've seen on videos released both by IU and then when he was down at Manning Passing Academy and from the IU players this summer, it looks like he's moving laterally very well. His arm strength looks better than ever. And his throws look fantastic. What are your expectations for Michael Penix? Is he the best quarterback in the Big Ten this year?
I believe so. The questions for Michael Penix are largely ones that are completely out of his control. And that's, can he stay healthy? How many games this season can he play? It's unfortunate that we have to couch it that way, but right now, any conversation regarding Michael Penix has to be couched with, when healthy, comma, Michael Penix is this. And I think that the finish to that sentence is, Michael Penix is a potential All-American and the best quarterback in the Big Ten. I believe that this offense, Nick Sheridan understands the weapon that he has. We will talk about the players surrounding Michael Penix, those that need to step up and those that we expect big things from. But given the weapons that he has at his disposal, given the system in place, given the experience he has, if he can stay healthy, I think the expectation should be for an all Big Ten season from Michael Penix. And if he has an all Big Ten season, it means that IU has had a very successful year on the field. Very few positions carry the weight that the quarterback does in football. And Michael Penix is, for lack of a better cliche, the straw that stirs the drink for IU football. The ceiling is that much higher with him at quarterback. If it's Jack Tuttle at quarterback because of a Penix injury or COVID, we have to mention that as well. Indiana's not going to fall off the face of the earth. They do have depth behind him. Jack Tuttle, true freshman Donovan McCauley, who not ready at this point to be thrown into the fire, but a guy that has the physical tools to get there in time. So it's not like Indiana would just fall off if Tuttle's in the game, but the ceiling does lower a little bit with what you can expect from this offense. So I think the short answer is the expectation should be an all Big Ten type season from Michael Penix.
Yeah, and then you go back to Tuttle. He started IU's final two games, including a bowl game, which a lot of people will go back and say, well, he didn't play well in the bowl game. He played with a separated shoulder for three quarters of that game. So, he's a tough dude. He went up to Wisconsin, which an IU quarterback hasn't done and won since 2001 and things like that. And if Miles Marshall makes a wide open catch, his numbers look a heck of a lot better. He got most of the first team, I would say most of all the quarterback reps in spring practice, as Dexter Williams went down with an ACL injury a couple practices in and things like that. McCauley didn't come until the summer. So he probably would have benefited a lot from being in the spring, but he stayed in school and played basketball and things like that and waited for graduation to come in. But it's, you have two quarterbacks you feel really, really good about, and then Donovan McCauley, who you don't really want starting game one, but down the road he has all the tools to step in behind Penix and Tuttle and make his mark. So should feel really good about the Indiana quarterback room. Let's talk about now the guys who he's throwing the ball to, the wide receivers. There are some new faces in Cam Buckley, a transfer from Texas A&M, and DJ Matthews, a transfer from Florida State. Matthews is going to come in and take over Wop Fillier's role in the slot. He's a bit more explosive than Wop Fillier, he was an all Big Ten receiver and holds IU's single season record for most catches, or a single game record for most catches and things like that. And he was, he came up big in some of IU's biggest games over his career. So he's not going to be easy to replace, but DJ Matthews should be able to fill that role and add a little bit more explosion to that position in the slot. Of course, you have all Big Ten or Big Ten wide receiver of the year, Ty Freifogel, back. He came back. He needs to work on his separation, but he could go catch balls with the best of them and things like that. So, and then, Miles Marshall should be the other starting wide receiver. But the depth is something that fans need to be excited about, too. You got Javon Swinton, Jacoby Hewitt, who only had, I think, five catches in the year last year. But man, he made him count. He had a big catch against Wisconsin. He had a big catch late in the game against Penn State. You know, we throw David Ellis in that room too at times, although with Samson James in the portal, you might see David Ellis more at running back as well. But he could play both positions. You know, Jordan Williams has had a good fall camp. He should be, you know, in the mix there. TJ, how do you feel about the wide receivers room this year? It should be a pretty awesome room to watch.
You know, it's certainly the deepest wide receiver room that Indiana has had in my time as a fan, which is, you know, coming on 30 years here. I don't think that the Hoosiers have had this level of experience, talent, size, and also, you know, youthful potential at any point during their history as a football program. I think that they've done a tremendous job of accumulating talent and then supplementing that with transfer portal additions. You mentioned DJ Matthews. Look, Walk Fillier did a lot of very good things. However, I think that there's a kind of a misnomer in the type of player that he was. Walk Fillier was not an explosive threat for the Hoosiers. He was a target accumulator that was able to make a volume of catches, but I did not really, you rarely saw an explosive element to Walk Fillier's game. He could be shifty, but not the top-end speed, not the quick acceleration that DJ Matthews brings to the table. Now, I'm not expecting DJ Matthews to equal the production that Walk Fillier had in terms of targets or receptions, because I think that the wide receiver target distribution is going to be a lot more varied than it has been previously. I think that there are more weapons to spread the ball around to. And I do think that if Michael Penix is healthy, you're going to see a lot more guys getting targets, stretching the field. You're looking at a wide receiver group that, you know, obviously you're interested in who starts. And I think that's probably, like you said, Freifogel, Miles Marshall, DJ Matthews. I think those are probably the starting three. However, it doesn't really matter with wide receivers. What you're looking for is, who's going to be on the field getting quality snaps? And you're probably going to see six, maybe seven, that'd be stretching it, but definitely six guys that are in the wide receiver rotation in competitive contests, which based on IU schedule is probably almost all of them. Idaho is probably the only game you're looking at that you're expecting to have, you know, a lot of time in the second half to get players that don't normally play onto the field. I think that those, that's true. That one potentially. I think that the additional three are probably going to be Cam Buckley, Javon Swinton, and then Jacoby Hewitt. I think that those are probably the three. That being said, if anybody is going to break in, Jordan Williams, I think, is that guy that's going to break into that group. And another name to kind of keep an eye out for, both of the other freshmen, Jaquez Smith and Malachi Holt-Bennett, their time's going to come. They're very talented. However, David Baker, you know, another bigger target. I think he could carve out a small role this season as a redshirt freshman. But I do think you're looking at Freifogel, Marshall, Matthews, and then Buckley, Swinton, Hewitt, and Jordan Williams as your kind of core group of receivers that I would say probably 90 to 95% of your wide receiver targets for the season are going to come from that group of players. And it's an incredibly challenging group for defenses to figure out how to cover, because you've got a good mix of speed, size, and then with a guy like Ty Freifogel, just an ability to go get the ball, as we've seen from him so many times. It's an incredibly good group that I am very excited to see how this plays out with them on the field.
Yeah, and you could see it for the future too. You know, you expect Freifogel, Cam Buckley, and DJ Matthews to move on this year, you know, either to the NFL and graduate. And you see the next group of receivers, they're right behind them. They now have a year to develop. Hopefully they could play in the four games and redshirt. That would be ideal. And things like that to get them some experience in some games and use them when you need them, type of thing. That redshirt rule is fantastic.
Jordan Williams is going to be the one to watch with how he's standing out early. If he is looking like what we think he is, he's not going to be a guy you can only play in four contests.
Correct. And things like that. So let's move on to tight ends. It's another position, more weapons for IU. You have Peyton Hendershot, who's coming off a year where, you know, he dropped a lot of passes. I think a lot of it was mental. It started early against Penn State, continued down the year with, you know, games against Michigan, Rutgers. He dropped an open early pass, things like that. But it seemed like once he got that big drop out of the way in each of the games, he did well. He's coming back. It's going to be his final year in Bloomington. You have Matt Bjorson, who he's more of a blocking tight end, but he has come up with some big catches for IU in his career. Now, he doesn't have a lot of them. But, you know, he scored a big touchdown against Nebraska in 2019, has had a couple big first down catches as well. And he's a very serviceable tight end. A guy we were excited to see last year, Cam Taylor, never played. He's back this year. I think that helps the offensive line. He's a true blocking tight end. I think he only had like three or four catches in his career at South Alabama before coming to IU. But he could add, you know, if you wanted to go a two tight end set, things like that, he adds, he's kind of that sixth offensive lineman type of player that, you know, IU has been missing the last couple years, especially if the line continues to struggle in pass protection and protecting Michael Penix and things like that. Then you have AJ Barner. He's a younger guy. He played sparingly last year in spots, but he looks like he's had a good camp coming in. He'll need to step up. He had a couple departures from that group too, and Gary Cooper and TJ Ivey going elsewhere. And then you have Aaron Steinfeld coming in as a true freshman. I don't know if he's ready to contribute just yet. He is a big body and a great athlete, but he does have some good players in front of him. What are your thoughts on the tight end group?
It's a good group. Certainly you need Peyton Hendershot to be the player you know he's capable of being. If he's not, I think this group leaves a little bit wanting just in the top end receiving talent. AJ Barner is a player that can get there. I'm interested to see if A.J. Barner takes a big step forward this year, or, you know, if Peyton Hendershot's playing really well, it's difficult for Barner to get that many opportunities. Matt Bjorson's going to be on the field because of his steadiness and his ability to be a really good blocker. Cam Taylor's kind of the interesting, different type of player. Reports that he has slimmed down some, which maybe you into thinking perhaps he's not just going to be a extra blocker in run situations. So, you know, we'll see how he gets utilized. And then Aaron Steinfeld, a guy that you hope develops into a good piece for you, and you want him to be able to redshirt this year. If he's playing significant time, it's because there have been injuries ahead of him. Well, I think you're looking at the majority of the snaps going to Hendershot as your inline receiving tight end. Matt Bjorson as the guy that can make some catches for you as a release valve or coming up with some big plays on third downs, but mostly being used to, as an additional blocker. That's going to be the bulk of what you see out of the tight end group. You know, it's a position that has enough talent that you kind of, you want to see it utilized more. However, we can't say that without then taking away targets from the receiver group we just got done talking with. And we can't say that within then taking away opportunities from, you know, the running back room. So it's going to be a difficult problem, but a good problem for Nick Sheridan to figure out how to distribute the targets to best maximize the offensive personnel that he has.
Yeah, and it's an exciting room to follow as well. TJ, let's move to the offensive line before getting to the running backs. This is a unit that everybody's eyes are going to be watching. They struggled last year with, you know, missed snaps, a lack of a run game. I think Indiana only averaged 3.1 yards per carry. Some of that is due to the running backs, but some of it's also due to the offensive line. While they only gave up a few sacks, Michael Penix is constantly under pressure and things like that. They bring in Zach Carpenter to shore up the line. You know, they get Caleb Jones back healthy. They get Matthew Bedford back healthy, things like that. Luke Haggard, who played a lot last year, looks to be at the left tackle position and things like that. So there's going to be some shuffling. You got Dylan Powell back as well. I think the key for IU is to get their five best offensive linemen on the field at the same time. If that means you're going to have to kick somebody inside, probably Matthew Bedford, that's what it's going to have to be. You need your best. There's too much on the line to start it, you know, to experiment with, you know, we need this guy to grow by getting on the field. It's now you're nationally ranked coming to the preseason. You're opening at Iowa. You know, you have a chance to do something special this year that hasn't been done in a long, long, long time and things like that. So I think you have to get the best five on the field at first. And then you fill in with backups. You have Michael Kadick, who's played a lot of football in there as well. And then some of these young guys who have been in the program for a few years and have had time to develop, it's their time to step up as well. Guys like Aiden Rafferty and Tim Weaver, who's been talked about constantly in spring ball and in preseason camp and things like that. Those are the guys that are going to have to step up because you know you're going to need 9 or even 10 guys who could play on the offensive line. Now, there's going to be some drop-off between your starters and your backups. That's what it is. But you like guys like Brady Feeney, maybe Chris Bradbury, Cam Knight. He's been, you know, this is his second year. But, you know, Khalil Benson, who's coming off an ACL injury, he could, if he's healthy, he could step in. Randy Holtz, guys like that have to step up. Nick Morozis, who's a redshirt junior, he's got to step up. Luke Wigginton. There's a lot of guys that have been in the pipeline for a couple of years who need to step up and get their games going. Am I wrong on that, or is that an accurate perception of the offensive line?
No, 100% accurate. There are a number of players, and you just mentioned them. At some point, you have to develop and step up and play a role. Now, I do 100% agree with you. What IU needs to do and what it appears the staff's focus is, let's get our five best guys on the field. And if that means that somebody we viewed as a tackle is now going to play guard, well, so be it. And that means Matt Bedford playing guard because Luke Haggard and Caleb Jones are not playing guard. So that's going to be Matt Bedford Dylan Powell, you would expect he would be a starter. And then you're looking at who's going to be your center. We thought Zach Carpenter was going to be the, you know, he transferred from Michigan. We thought, okay, well, that makes sense. Plug him in. And that could end up being the case, but he has apparently, you know, gotten some push from guys like Charlie O'Connor and a couple of other players. So I'm very interested to see who that five ends up being. And they probably don't quite know exactly who it's going to be at this point in time. But I think you're probably getting real close. And I do think that there's probably four positions that they know for sure, you know, this is who is going to take the field for us the first offensive series against Iowa. I do think two players to watch, Luke Haggard, who I believe showed flashes of turning into a very good player, and with continued development and added weight, which we've seen from him, I think he's going to be a really good one. And then the second one, Caleb Jones, so your other tackle, he had a hard time with COVID last year that got him out of condition. And a guy as big as he is, when he's out of condition, it's going to show. Yep. And it did. He struggled with that. Yes. Apparently, and we don't see this. You know, we don't see practice, so we don't know. We can only go on reports that have come out. But and in whatever we see from a press conference standpoint and hear quotes-wise, Caleb Jones really committed himself this offseason to getting in the best shape he can be in.
Yeah, he credits Aaron Wellman for doing that. Wellman's an NFL guy. He knows what it takes to be an NFL offensive lineman. And he will listen to that input, because that's the next step for Big Caleb. It is the NFL, because the NFL is going to love his size and things like that. So, yeah, that's right. He got wrecked by COVID last year.
They're only going to love that size if he can keep it under control. Right. It has to be size that is conditioned. It has to be size that can move. And I really want it for Caleb. He's a player from, you know, the high school that I graduated from. And everyone that I've spoken to loves him as a man and as a, you know, as a young man and wants the best for him. I really want him to succeed. And I think he has set himself up through a ton of hard work to have a great season. And I hope that occurs. If it does, Indiana's in good shape at tackle. If they kick Bedford inside, you like that as a guard. He's a much better, you know, run blocker than he has been a pass blocker. The run defense or the run blocking has to improve. You want to see that get up to, 3.1 to 4.0 is a big jump to make, but I think that's probably a realistic goal that they're going to shoot for. And then you have to have improved pass blocking to give Michael Penix a chance to get throws off without getting hit. That's priority number one for this offense, is keep Michael Penix from getting hammered. And if this offensive line can do that, we've talked about the skill position groups, you like their chances to put up points.
Yeah, and you know, going from three, it's the explosive runs too. Running for 4 yards a carry every time, that's great, but you need those 30, 40, 50-yard runs, and a lot of that now is going to be thrown on the running backs, which we'll talk about here in a second. But you need those longer runs, which will ultimately boost your yard per carry average. Stevie Stott did a great job of it. You know, he was rarely, if ever, tackled for a loss. And he fell forward and he got, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 yards, you know, and his big runs were about 15 to 20 yards, maybe 25, things like that. But let's get to that running back room. There's a lot of change in that room. Stevie Scott is off to the NFL. I believe he just got cut by the Saints. I haven't seen anything else on it. Samson James is heading up to Purdue through the transfer portal. We've seen Ronnie Walker leave, but guess what? You lose some through the transfer portal, and you know something comes back out. It seems for IU. What they got back out is former five-star recruit in Stephen Carr from USC. His time with Dylan McCullough as a recruit has paid off for the Hoosiers. And they haven't announced it yet, but he seems like he's the guy at running back. You know, and all the signs point to it with Samson James leaving, and he's going to be the bell cow at running back. He's shifty. He's explosive. I think you get bigger runs from him and things like that. He has to stay healthy. I think getting him the majority of the carries. Now, what I didn't like about IU's running back rooms under Mike Hart was that that Stevie Scott got like 70% of the carries for 3 years. And IU has too much talent on this team to just give one guy the ball, you know, 70% of the time. If Stephen Carr is breaking off 60-yard runs like Tevin Coleman every time you hand him the ball, sure, you hand him the ball 30 times a game and say, sorry, guys, this dude's on fire. But, you know, I'd like to see them sprinkle in Tim Baldwin more. I know you're a big fan of Charlie Spiegel. They have some talent at running back. Yeah, it's unproven. David Ellis probably shifts more to running back now as well. And he could get some carries, but just to distribute the carries better. And we've seen it with Dylan McCullough in the past when he had Tevin Coleman and Devine Redding and Jordan Howard and Stephen Houston and D'Angelo Roberts. Those guys, it seemed, were like interchangeable. I remember 2013 when Tevin Coleman went down, Stevie Houston filled right back. And there were multiple games where multiple running backs had over 100 yards rushing and things like that. So you also get two freshmen in Trent Howland and David Holloman. We'll see. I think Trent Howland's the one coming off of an injury in high school. We'll see how ready he is coming off an October ACL injury. But both of those guys can play. And then you have a couple walk-ons and Davion Irvin Poindexter, Charlie Spiegel, who Dylan McCullough calls dudes don't want to tackle this guy, which is a pretty good characteristic of a running back. So TJ, I know you're expecting a 100 carry, 10,000 yard season from our guy Charlie Spiegel this year. What's your take on the running back room?
Yeah, so you're right. I do have high hopes for Charlie Spiegel. That being said, I think that a reasonable role for Charlie Spiegel will be at some point during his career, he helps Indiana win a couple football games. Which, as a walk-on, that is, you know, far and away your best hope for what they're going to give to you. Now, this year, Stephen Carr, I think you said it correctly, a more explosive running back than what Stevie Scott provided to you. He's not going to be quite as physical as Scott was. However, I do think that we should see some more explosive plays, both from him and from Tim Baldwin, who flashed that in the limited time he did get. I think that many fans, myself included, were frustrated that Baldwin did not get more time, particularly after the really good performance he had against Maryland. We saw what he was capable of and wanted to see more of it.
He averaged 6.4 yards a carry on the season. In four games.
Playing with the same offensive line that we, you know, Stevie Scott was struggling behind. And that's not to denigrate Stevie Scott. It was just frustrating to see the same guy get the same carries game after game when it just wasn't working. Now, I do think it is also fair to point out that Indiana is going to have to find a way to replace the kind of nose for the end zone that Stevie Scott seemed to have in goal to go situations. He was very good at that. And I think him getting those tough yards because of his physicality and his size is something that IU is going to have to find a way to replace. I think they can, and that's going to have to come from the running backs and the offensive line working together. David Ellis is a player that I have long wanted to see get additional opportunities with the ball in his hands. I think he is a very good option to receive passes out of the backfield or, you know, some tosses, some option plays to get him out on the edge, not in between the tackles, but out on the edge to make plays with his speed and elusiveness. I think that's the best way to use David Ellis. I hope we see a bit more of that this season. I do think you're right. The primary thing we're going to notice differently from this running game, at least we hope, is a better utilization of the entire running back room, as well as more of an emphasis on getting those explosive chunk plays, which have been absent from the running game for the past few seasons. I think that's going to be the biggest difference that we see. I do think the largest concern that you have with Samson James transferring is all of a sudden, if you have an injury to Stephen Carr, which, you know, has happened before, if we have to point out, Indiana's starting quarterback and starting running back have injury concerns and injury history. You know, that has to be pointed out. And that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on all season. And that's another reason you want to spread the load out and not overload Stephen Carr is to kind of manage that for him. And if you have an injury to him or to Tim Baldwin, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at one converted running back on scholarship, whichever the other one is that didn't get hurt. So that's two. And then your walk-ons. It's a position that walk-ons can have an impact on, for sure. We've seen that before, but that's not an ideal situation. So hopefully those guys can stay healthy. If they can, I do think we're going to see a positive impact from Devin McCullough. And it's a group that I'm excited to see because, like you said, a lot of change there, and there's a very high-profile recruit coming in next season. It's important for these guys to take advantage of the opportunity they have now because the running back room is one that can change very quickly.
Yes, it is. All right, we're going to switch gears to defense, TJ, real quickly, but we have another word from our friends over at Spotify Green Room. Again, Spotify Green Room is a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You could start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games, talk with other sports fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time, joining in on conversations with me and other Hoosier Huddle writers during the season. We'll be hosting rooms prior to games on Saturday in the morning, times to be announced, since game times haven't been announced. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app, free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Hoosier Huddle group. You can follow me at Hoosier_Huddle to be notified when the room goes live. We'll be going live on Spotify Green Room for the first time Saturday, September 4th, time to be announced. Come with your spiciest takes. TJ, moving over to the defense, clearly this – I think it's seen as the strength of this team. Almost everybody's back from last year's team outside of a few defensive linemen, which IU addressed in the offseason, and Jamar Johnson in the secondary. But it's a defense led by two All-Americans in Tywin Mullen and Michael McFadden. Let's start up front. And I think the biggest transfer on coming in on the defensive line is Weston Kramer. IU has two other transfers on the defensive line with Ryder Anderson and Jaron Handy, but Weston Kramer is the anchor in the middle that'll make this defense that much better, kind of like when Nate Hoff and Ralph Green manned the center of the defense. He eats up blockers. He was all MAC first team at NIU. He's productive. I think he's, you know, you probably see him either as the starter or the first guy off the bench, off the defensive line. Because you still got you could put DeMarcus Elliott and CO up front there as well to start. But, you know, what's your take on this defensive line?
Well, I think you're right. The interior had to have another guy that can be a part of that rotation because this is another position, much like, you know, wide receiver, there's going to be a rotation that occurs. You can't just play four defensive linemen all game. They'll be gassed very quickly if you do. So you're going to be rotating guys. Weston Kramer is going to be a part of that interior with DeMarcus Elliott and CO. That's a good group. It's one that I think has a little bit to prove. Without Jerome Johnson in there, that was certainly a big loss, losing him and Jamar Johnson were kind of the two guys you lost off this defense. So making sure that you can adequately fill the shoes left by Jerome Johnson, particularly against run-heavy teams, that's going to be important to see. And then you're looking at the pass rush, which is, for me, the one concern that this defense still has, is finding guys that can consistently beat their man one-on-one so you don't have to blitz scheme or scheme to blitz, scheme to get to the quarterback, send extra guys. You can do that sometimes, and IU is going to under new defensive coordinator Charlton Warren, but this is still a Tom Allen defense. Let's make no mistake about that. You're going to be sending some pressure, no doubt. But you want to have guys that can beat their man one-on-one. IU is still looking to consistently do that. And to be fair, so is almost every other team in the country. It's one of the hardest things to find. So you're looking at who can those players be. Jaron Handy and Ryder Anderson, certainly players that are brought in, expected to do that. Ryder Anderson appears to be, you know, having a very good camp with Indiana and making a positive impression. James Head, another guy that you could see try to do that. Bo Robbins, potentially, maybe it's his time to step up. So I think Indiana has the bodies. They just need a couple of guys to step up and be those consistent pass rushers. I think that this defensive front is the weakest group of the defense, but still, it's one of the better defensive lines that IU has had in a very long time. And that says how strong this defense is we're kind of searching around for weaknesses instead of searching around for strengths as we've had to do in the not too distant past.
Yeah, that's correct. Let's move back a level on defense. You just said it. You're looking for weaknesses and all you find is strengths. The linebacker room is outstanding. And
yeah, you're not finding any weaknesses here.
To my point was, is the secondary better than the linebacker group, or is the linebacker group better than the secondary? It's you could argue for both. But the linebacker room is led by Cam Jones and Michael McFadden, two outstanding players. They're back this year. You also have James Miller and some Thomas Allen is back practicing. Aaron Casey, who came on last year. There are, I think you go like six deep along between the two linebacker positions with McFadden, Aaron Casey, Thomas Allen, You also have a four-star Cameron Williams back there, James Miller, Cam Jones, Maurice Freeman. He's a freshman. I don't expect him to play as much. And then you have Ty Wise, who's a redshirt freshman, who could be a contributor this year as well. What do you see out of this linebacker room? Is this the best linebacker room that IU's had in recent memory?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think there's a question. And you start with Micah McFadden, All-American. Indiana's had good linebackers before, but McFadden's production level, leadership ability, and just absolute nose for the football. He's going to, whoever has the ball, McFadden's going to find him and he's going to tackle him. That is his mission, and he's done it as well as any IU player in recent memory. You know, going through this depth chart, you look at a player like a James Miller or a Cameron Williams, the physical tools that they have, they should be playing. Yes. But they're stuck behind guys that are just a little bit better, which speaks to how good these guys are. Mike McFadden and Cam Jones are outstanding linebackers. And then, you know, you want to see some guys like Ty Wise, Cameron Williams. You want to see them get some playing time just to get experience for when you don't have those guys in front of them. But, you know, it's hard to remove McFadden and Cam Jones from the field because they are so good. Maurice Freeman is a player that just a heat-seeking missile that IU has a ton of hope for. You would hope that he's able to redshirt this season. Maybe you get him a little bit of snaps in situations, but ideally he's a redshirt candidate that looks like a future piece for this defense. And then Ty Wise, you know, performed very well on the scout team last year. They have high hopes for his future as well. It's a really good group. You just don't have any concerns about these guys. You put Cam Jones and Micah McFadden out there as the middle of your defense, you're going to feel really good about it.
Yeah, you sure do. And the depth is there and things like that. Moving to the secondary, and we'll include the Husky here as well. The Husky is, if you don't know, is Indiana's hybrid linebacker safety position. Indiana gets Marcelino Ball back, who looks renewed in his attitude towards football and things like that. So it's going to be a special season for the secondary. It's led by Tywin Mullen, who's an All-American. You know, this might be the last chance IU fans get to see Tywin in an IU uniform. If he has another big year, he might test those NFL draft waters. You also have Reese Taylor, Devon Matthews. Raheem Lane is back after missing last year as well. He'll step into that Jamar Johnson role. You've got, oh, man, there's so many guys. Josh Sanguinetti played, Noah Pierre, Jalen Williams is your, basically your nickel corner outside of Reese Taylor, Jawan Burgess, who also could fill in that Jamar Johnson role as well. And then you have Jonathan Haynes, who came in under the radar during fall camp from Ole Miss, who started 10 games last year, started the bowl game against IU. He adds some depth, and we'll see how well he grasps the defense or how quickly he'll grasp the defense in order to play. But there is talent all over this defensive secondary as well. Another transfer, Dylan McCullough, the second from Miami of Ohio. There's just a ton of guys. And again, it goes back to a guy who, you know, when he committed a few years ago, Jordan Jucevic, he was a Mr. Football finalist and things like that. He hasn't really seen the field. You have Brian Fitzgerald as well at that Husky position and things like that. There's just – it's an embarrassment of riches in the secondary, and that has not been a term used to describe an Indiana position group on defense maybe ever.
Absolutely. This is the most talented secondary We said it last year, and it is again, the most talented and deepest secondary that IU's ever had. They have to perform, you know, they have to earn that, but certainly no reason not to have incredibly high expectations. You go from the top, your cornerback trio of Jalen Williams, Tywan Mullen, Reese Taylor. Those guys are going to be kind of your cover corners that you're relying on, not just for the pass, but as we saw last year, they get creative and utilize these guys in blitzes. Tywan Mullen led the Big Ten for all cornerbacks in sacks. That was a new wrinkle added to that. I think you could see that again with an increase from Reese Taylor as well, because he's shown he's a good tackler. So you've got those guys, and then you've got your safeties. Devon Matthews is going to be one for sure. Still to be seen who's going to be playing that other safety role the majority of the time. Is it going to be a Raheem Lane, who has played quite a bit of football previously, but then hasn't played much the past couple seasons, and you're wondering what he has at safety? He's a previous corner that converted to safety. You're looking at, you know, what is Marcelino Ball's role going to be? He's clearly
the first
highly
guy
productive
off the bus,
player.
TJ. He's the first guy off the bus, and you yell at him if he wears a T-shirt off the bus. He's a superhero.
Yeah.
He's your first guy off the bus, and I think, you know, I think his role is going to be what Tywan Mullen did last year on blitzes. And Mullen won't admit that he played husky, but he did.
Right.
Now switch Mullen with a guy who's maybe a tad bit slower, a little bit slower, but 50 pounds heavier and wants to rip people's heads off. So I think that's where Marcelino Ball's going to go. So, but
you have,
and I like, go ahead.
You have to be careful with his role. And look, the IU coaches know this 1,000 times more than we do, how to best utilize a guy like him. But he's a bit of a divisive player because of roles he had to play previously when the IU defenses were not quite as talented as they are now. And
yep.
In some cases, not nearly as talented as they are now. He was asked to do things that are not best suited to his skills, mainly being downfield pass coverage. That's not something Marcelino Ball should be asked to do. And with the corners that IU has now and the safety that IU has now, he shouldn't. He won't need to be asked to do that. That's not to say he can't cover some tight ends. That's not to say he can't, you know, cover the flat on screen passes. But you do not want him covering 15, 20 yards down the field. He got lost. And it showed up with, you know, frustration penalties, blown coverages. We're not going to see that from Marcelino Ball in the role that he's going to play now. So you take that. You're looking for another safety. Is it going to be Haynes? Is it going to be Raheem Lane? It's probably going to be some of a few different guys. Bryant Fitzgerald, Bryson Bonds is going to play quite a bit. He got some exposure as a freshman. What you're really looking at as an unknown is who's going to step up as the cornerbacks behind your front three, which aren't going to be asked to play a bunch, but they will need to play some. You do have to have some rotation there. You've got a lot of options like Lynn Watley Neely, Larry Tracy, Jordan Greer, potentially as a depth piece. He's a true freshman that they like quite a bit. Josh Sanguinetti, Noah Pierre. So a lot of options. It's just unclear right now who's going to be the guy that steps up and really seizes those limited opportunities that they're going to get. Step in, do a good job covering when you're asked to. Maybe make a play here and there. But your goal as a corner, usually, when you come in like that, is just don't be noticed. Don't make a mistake. Because if any of those top three guys go out, you can bet the opponent is going to be looking for that receiver that the new guy is covering and go after him. Because you don't have many weak spots in this defense. And if you see a potential liability, you're going to attack it as an offense. So that's really the only question mark is who's going to be those depth pieces at cornerback to step in. The talent's there. It's just getting that experience.
Yeah. I think Raheem Lane's, I think that's a good move to safety. He struggled at corner, covering guys because of speed. I think having him play safety kind of slows the game down for him a little bit. He has good ball skills. So we'll see. They need to – Jamar Johnson, it was noticeable when he was off the field last year, the step that in back that Indiana took. You saw against Michigan, he got tossed early, and they went after – I think two of the touchdowns Michigan scored were against replacements, one against Juwan Burgess and then another against Bryson Bonds, who was a true freshman, just wasn't ready to be out there that early in the season. Let's switch finally over to special teams, TJ, before we wrap up. I know this is a longer podcast, but, it's an hour less that you have to wait for Indiana football people. Charles Campbell is back. His expectation, at least my expectation for him, is to be the Big Ten kicker of the year. Possibly an All-American along those lines. He hit 3 50-yard field goals last year. He missed only one field goal. I think he's 10 for 11. He set the Outback Bowl record. He could kick in any conditions. He's clutch. You saw it against Purdue in 2019 in the wind and the rain. He had a clutch field goal that helped Indiana get into overtime and get that win. He kept him in the game against Ole Miss with a couple bombs as well. So he's locked in at kicker, but where you're breaking in a new punter with James Evans, who has a tremendous leg, but the issue is he's never played American football. He's never gone against the rush and things like that. If they could iron out that part of his game, he'll just be fine. He'll be just fine. Sean Ratcher is an all Big Ten snapper and things like that. And then you have Jared Smoller back as the kickoff specialist. Where Indiana needs to improve the most is in the return game. The kickoff returns to some are going extinct. However, Indiana has too much talent at return with return guys to not be able to get a decent return more than half the time. I understand taking touchbacks, but when the ball is actually returned, there's no reason Indiana should not get it past the 25-yard line more than half the time. With David Ellis back there, you have some other folks. You have, DJ Matthews could be. Jacoby Hewitt has been returning kicks as well. Reese Taylor can return kicks and punts and things like that. There's just too much athleticism for that to be an area where they stink. And they have stunk. They haven't returned a kickoff or a touchdown since 2012. And then punt return, I think they're in good hands with punt return. DJ Matthews, to me, is the starting punt returner. Even though Reese Taylor was an all-Big Ten punt returner last year, you probably rotate them, maybe even put both of them back there in certain situations. But DJ Matthews was an elite punt returner at Florida State. So I think he's going to get the first go around at that position as well. It's why they brought him in. I think that makes him a little bit more valuable than Wop Fillier. He struggled in the punt return game, even though he had the tools to be a good punt returner. It just never materialized. Outside of that, the coverage teams were excellent last year on kick and punt and should continue to do so, if not get better. But the kick return game is the one spot you'd circle and go, yeah, they could be a lot better in that position. What do you think, TJ?
It does need to improve. You're 100% correct about that. You'd like to just be able to pick up some free yards. You know, if you can bust a 15, 20 yard return in a punt situation, or, get maybe 5 to 10 yards more on average out of your kick returns, that's an extra first down. to start each of your drives if you can do that on average. So I think that it's really nice to have the luxury of trusting Charles Campbell, just be able to send your kicker out there and feel like, okay, we got 3 points. We know that if we cross, say you get to the 35 yard line, you feel like we are probably getting 3 points out of this drive. That's a luxury that most college teams don't have. The big question mark is going to be that return unit, and then, you know, just getting the consistency out of the punting position, which you hope to be able to get out of Evans. We're not going to know until we see it. The IU coaches aren't going to know until they see it. But I don't really have any particular concerns about the special teams unit, given the personnel back. I hope that the Hoosiers actually do attempt to utilize the athletes that they have to find some solutions at kick return. The weapons are there. You just got to put them in position and make it an emphasis. So we'll see how that plays out. It's definitely not a unit that gets paid attention to much, but you can pick up points. You can pick up free yards on your opposition if you can win that phase of the game. And in close contests, it can make a huge difference. So it is an important area to pay attention to, even though it typically gets ignored in preview settings. I know the coaches certainly don't ignore it. That's for sure. But fans in general can maybe overlook that area of the field or the team. And it's one that can cost you games. We've seen that before. Yeah. It's one that can win you games. We've seen that before. So hopefully the Hoosiers are able to just send Campbell out there, rely on him each time you need to, and then get a good season out of Evans. True freshman that, like you said, it's a bit of an unknown with him, but I think we've seen enough from Australian punters to know, you know, he'll get it. It might take a tad bit of time, but he's going to get it and be just fine.
He's got to get it fast before Iowa. Block punt's going to change that game if that happens. But, yeah,
Iowa's going to be going after it.
Yeah, I would rush 11 guys. I don't even need a punt returner. Just rush 11, and the guy will shank it. But anyway, TJ, that does it for our Indiana preview. The season is just 12 days away. It is right around the corner. We'll be back next week to, holy cow, to preview Iowa. It's over. The offseason is over. So thanks for joining us today on the podcast, TJ. We'll be back next week to preview Iowa. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com for all our position previews, all your IU and Big Ten football news. As well, check out, we just posted the forfeiture rules that the Big Ten came out with today, you know, 5 days prior to the Big Ten's first game. And I think after the regular season for other fall sports started. So kind of typical in Big Ten fashion that way, late to the table. But football is back. We'll be here. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Follow us on Facebook as well, and you know where to go for the best Indiana football coverage there is. Have a great day. We'll talk next week and begin breaking down Iowa.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.